Soldier Field, 24-17. Bears trying to get their 10th win. Here's the boot up in the air. Going up for it. Allen Robinson, he's got it!
I want to see the Bears give him an opportunity to prove that he can do that.
He's got the ball at the 43-yard line.
When all the signs in the world were there.
I think that'll be a fade to black moment with Allen Robinson taking it out of the air.
That's what you're really hoping for, that they really contribute to the team each year and that you build a great base and foundation.
And these loyal fans have been rewarded for their loyalty.
It was awesome. We picked up right where we left off. It was fantastic.
And they have a Bears team to be proud of right now. Takes the snap, takes a knee, they head to the field. The Bears have won it!
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of 34 to Glory. I'm your host, Tyler Flesh, joined by my father and co-host, Brian Flesh.
Hey there, Bear fans!
So, we're back.
We're back. And the season is starting to wind up with some pretty interesting turns, Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big win coming off the Cardinals, I guess. A big win, big loss, however you want to look at it, how anyone wants to look at it at this point in time in the year. Green Bay wins. Pretty sure we're going to lock up the number one pick if all goes well. They only have to lose one more game, the Panthers, and then we get the pick. And then we go into what we continue to talk about all year. Is Justin Fields the guy? Is Justin Fields not the guy? I can't do this narrative anymore, the coaching staff. I think it's fucking bullshit. It irritates me. Me just bringing it up irritated myself. I can't do it anymore. Before we talk about the game, what in everyone else's mind is happening? He's not improving as a head coach. He's winning against teams he should be beating because we're a better team on paper. And we're finally doing that. You can't expect someone to win a Super Bowl, because that's the end goal, is to win a Super Bowl. You can't expect that person to win a Super Bowl when you give him a 1,000-foot leash. Like, it is ridiculous, the baby steps that we want to give him. You're the worst coach in Bears history. You are not a culture guy. What do you bring to the table? We've already talked about the disgusting acts that have gotten two of your coaches, two in two seasons, a running back coach and a defensive coordinator fired. Guys you brought in, guys you vouch for, guys that you know. Okay, culture's out the window. Game planning, out the window. Being responsible to hire an offensive coordinator that can actually do something, out the window. I mean, there, you know, what if you do a Venn diagram, everything's on the bad.
Yeah, the checklist is really short of things he can do well. And there's one thing that I'll give Everflub credit for. The defense has improved under him.
Oh, but come the fuck
but we don't,
on.
But, yeah, but defense is not.
But okay, I hear you and I understand and I'm not trying to ridicule your point. But the point is, how is it that only in Chicago do we do this shit? 120 things bad, we hold on to the one good thing.
So you're saying there's a chance, right?
No, I mean, but it's not even that. But that's the thing, right? It's not even that. It's the fact, like, here's the thing. It's the fact that they're going, no, we know there's not even a chance. But maybe he could turn it around next year because we don't want to pay him. It's like, what the fuck, dude? Sell the fucking team then. You guys haven't won shit. You're one of the oldest franchises in NFL history. I'm just so sick of it. I'm so sick of these narratives being spun. I'm sick of it. Someone in Chicago, reach down, grab your fucking cojones, and fire some people. It's ridiculous. I know we're just coming off of a win. The fact is, we have so many choices to be made that we need to start moving people out. Moving parts, thinking of our next move. We can't just sit here on our ass and we're going to get left behind again. We are the kid always late for the school bus, chasing the school bus, wondering why we're still chasing the school bus.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to get up earlier.
No, we have the same routine, right? Year in and year out, year in and year out. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing that was so frustrating earlier in the year. You and I could see that things were, not just you and I, but that things were going the wrong way really quickly, and the coaching wasn't changing, and things were going badly. And yet, and I know personally you got frustrated with my comments about, hey, the Bears will never do anything in season. We never have. We never will.
It wasn't the fact I was frustrated at your comment. It's the fact I was frustrated with the truth of that we won't.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I think it was just, you know, and it's true. We continue to be that franchise that simply will not change under when conditions call for change.
Well, and again, he wins this game, and now everyone's like, you know, the Bears look pretty good. The Cardinals are a fucking dumpster fire, okay?
Yeah, they're competing with Carolina, guys.
To try to get the number one pick from us.
Exactly.
So, you know,
come on.
All honesty, we should have blown this game
That would have actually locked up the pick, which right now, Vegas, last time I checked, Vegas has us at a 94 or 96% chance of getting the number one pick. You know, the interesting thing is that so Carolina plays Jacksonville this week
in
Jacksonville, then ends up with Tampa Bay.
But if they lose to Jacksonville, it's over.
Pretty much so.
I thought it was over.
I'm thinking they could potentially tie.
Yeah, but the Panthers hold the tiebreaker. Like, I'm pretty sure it's over.
Okay.
That's why it's in the 90. Why would it be?
Yeah, Panthers would hold the tiebreaker to get the number one pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we Bears wouldn't get the number one pick.
Say what you just said again.
Okay. I believe.
You just said. Hold on. You just said the Panthers have the number one pick. And then the Bears won it. We have their pick.
No, we have their pick only if the Carolina
Panthers, who you keep saying,
yeah, end up with the worst schedule, right?
If they have the worst record, yes,
worst record,
they have
yes.
the tiebreaker to win the draft.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that I still think there would be an outside chance is if Arizona and the Carolina end up with the same. Oh, that's right.
No.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's what I keep saying. That's why it's a 90% chance.
Yeah.
Because if they end up with the same record.
I was thinking the
Panthers still get the pick.
Yeah. 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 I was going through that in my head. Maybe I haven't had enough coffee this
morning. Because that's why they keep saying if Jacksonville wins, we lock it up.
Yeah.
It's done. It's dusted.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, and it's completely done if the Cardinals win.
Yeah, yeah.
Which so
Cardinals play Seahawks this weekend, and they end their season against Philadelphia.
Yeah, and the Seahawks are trying to play for a playoff.
Yeah,
so that sucks.
Yeah,
that's not good at all.
Mm-mm.
So then. I mean, the bad thing is, if we go to the game, and we brought this up on the last podcast, look, everyone played well. I mean, this is just my opinion. I don't really want to talk too much about the game, because it just leads us back to the same argument we keep having. And it's to move on from Fields or not to move on from Fields. But my argument's not even that anymore. We need to bring someone in who knows what the fuck they're doing and needs to be decisive in this matter. The time is now. We have to do something now. You have to clean house before the playoff. Your offseason and Chicago should have already started.
Agree totally.
And you know what? Here's the thing. As fans, and I'm going to be flat out honest with you, we deserve the right to know. We deserve the right to know that they have fired the coach. And what I mean is, why can't you just tell Eberflus, you can finish out the season, but you're gone. We've decided to go to another direction. Why can't that be public? That doesn't make sense to me. People do that all the time. Teams do that all the time. They're like, this is his last year. We've decided to go way, you know, part ways.
Broncos just basically did it. right?
Broncos, that's a fucked up situation with Russell Wilson.
That is a messed up. But to your point, now of course there were all the financial issues that if Russell Wilson would have got hurt in the last two games, they would have owed about $37 million to him if he couldn't pass a physical in March. And those certainly played out, but they really came out and said, "Hey man, you're pretty much you're done here with the Broncos."
Yeah. Well, not only that, they benched him.
Yeah.
Because of that clause, but my thing is the Broncos are upset that he won't re-sign, he wouldn't restructure the contract. Buddy, it's a two-way street, boys. You signed it too.
Why exactly?
You fucking agreed to it.
So why would he?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that would be one of the stupidest things. But
the owners don't want to pay more when the player they're like, "We just gave you a contract extension." Yeah. They're like, "Well, I'm playing out of my mind. Can I get more money?" They're like, "We just paid you." But when it wants to work for their favor, they're like, "Why isn't he redoing it?"
Exactly.
The only thing that does irritate me, and I know we're a little off topic here, is about Russell Wilson, is just speak your damn mind, dude. Did you see the press conference he had?
Yeah.
He is so by the book. No one gives a shit anymore about by the book. No one, speak your feelings, man. You could tell he was holding everything back. He's trying to be as professional. This isn't the 1950s anymore. People don't act like that. Let's see your true colors, man. Just tell them. Be like, "Hey, man, this situation sucks. You know, I feel like if the shoe was on the other foot, they wouldn't have done it. You know, we signed a contract. We both came to an agreement. Later on down the road, they didn't like it."
Well, that's...
You know, speak on your mind.
You know, that's been the big hit on Russell Wilson the whole time, though. Even when he got on board, he did this silly-ass Broncos let's ride shit that was
That's not the big thing,
you know.
The big thing against him, right?
Say it.
That Marshawn Lynch told that story, why Marshawn Lynch hates him. Because Marshawn Lynch, do you know this story?
No, I do not.
Marshawn Lynch tried to reach out to him and get his number. His agent said, "Well, let me call Russ." And he goes, "What? Just give me..." Like, this is when they're teammates.
Yeah.
His rookie year. And he goes, "Let me get Russ's number." They said, "Well, Russ will reach back out to you." He's like, "What? I can't get his number?" Russell Wilson then called him from a blocked number because he didn't want Marshawn to have his number. And Marshawn goes, "That just set the tone to who he really was."
What the hell?
And that's why Richard Sherman don't like him. That's why he got... Now, I don't speak too much, but one of the big knocks was he's too white. I'm not saying I'm saying that. I'm saying that's what former players were saying and stuff, and anonymous sources were coming out at the time. I'm sure everyone remembers this. But to me, like, we definitely dodged a bullet by not getting him. And I was on the podcast saying we need to go get him and to throw four first-round picks at him. Which, God, that would have been a mistake. So yeah. I'm glad I didn't do that. But
reminds me, some of the best prayers in life are those that are unanswered.
Yes, for real. So with all that being said, you know, it just that you can't do that. That sets a tone, like your teammates trying to reach out to you and then you call them from a blocked number.
Well, that's real shitty if you're still on the same team. Don't you see each other in the locker room? Don't you see each other at practice?
Oh, they didn't.
Russ
was in and out. Everyone talks about that. Not a locker room guy. He was just good on the field. That was it. The players say it's all a show. The praying, the pregame rituals, the leadership. I mean, dude, he is so over the top.
Well, why I mentioned the let's ride thing, because it seems so over the top and so disingenuous.
That's not even the worst one. The worst one is, remember when he was practicing on breaking a huddle? You know that?
No.
He was out on the field and he was like, no one was there. It was just him. And he's acting like he's giving out the play and he goes, "Ready, break." I'm like, Russ, that is beyond over the top.
Well, the other thing I remember, and this just, and we can get back to Bears football, but I think this is in a really tangential way kind of attached, because it is talking about, you know, culture. It's about talking about setting the tone. It's talking about, you know, getting ahead of things. The thing that just was crazy was that trip to England with Russ, and everyone's trying to get to sleep, and he's like creating a disturbance up and down.
Doing lunges
and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And you're like, dude, look around you. You know, take in your environment, you know? So that to me either says...
He's all about himself.
Yeah, narcissistic, right?
Yes, very.
Okay. All right, he and Trump can get together.
No need to go there and throw politics into our podcast. Fields, though, you know, you look at his box score of the game, he did have that one bad interception, but he had 170 yards, he had a touchdown, and then, you know, he had 97 on the ground. And I don't know what to do, man. I'm going to have to ride with whatever.
Yeah.
But I think if you're Chicago and the answer is I still don't know, then I think that's your answer. It's time to move on.
I think that's exactly what the Bears are going to do. You know, and I tell you, one of the biggest reasons why they're going to move on is that if you're the GM and Fields was not the guy you went for, you're not going to put your career in Fields' hands. You're going to go out and try to get the guy that you chose to determine your fate.
That's if he's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if he's there. The reports are... There's been so many weird reports. Reports were that Kevin Warner wants to fire House and bring in his own people. There was reports that, no, you know, Poles is now going to fire Eberflus. No, now it's, you know, it just keeps going in circles.
But, you know, Justin Fields gave an interesting press conference, and I think he said it so honestly and so truthfully. They were asking him about, you know, the future with the Bears, and he just says, I don't know. I don't think they know.
I just thought of something.
What's that?
Is everyone gone? Is that what's happening here? This just popped into my head. I think they might be cleaning house. Jalen Johnson doesn't get re-signed. No one else is getting new deals except one person.
Kicker.
Yeah. Of course they're going to let the kicker re-sign because he's a kicker.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is everyone gone?
That is a really good point.
I just thought of that.
That is a really good point.
They're not letting him do any other moves.
Right. You would think
now the Montez Sweat move happened way early in the season.
Exactly.
And then they signed big money. But then there's been nothing since.
Which, by the way, that was a frickin' brilliant move.
Right. And we've already talked about that. But what I'm trying to say is,
yeah,
now that I got to thinking, I'm like, man, maybe they are clearing house.
It certainly could point toward that they're clearing house. Certainly could point toward it.
I don't see. I mean, you tell me.
Yeah, I personally think Fields is going to be gone.
We're not doing the quarterback right now. Okay. I agree with you. I'm saying GM and
GM
stuff.
And the
because
whole 10 yards.
They're not letting him sign anyone. Jalen Johnson comes out, says he wants to be a Bear. He continues to keep making plays. Why isn't he being re-signed? In my head, it's because they're saying, hey, you're not going to be the GM. We want the GM that comes in to be able to make these financial decisions.
Yeah. That is certainly a real possibility. I hadn't really thought of that till you just brought it up right now.
Now, the only reason this all goes to shit and this doesn't happen is if the offseason comes and if we're quiet for more than, like I said, 2 weeks, nah, everyone's staying. Like, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
We're in trouble. They need to have the old double press conference once again saying that they can't get it right. And you know what? I don't even want George McCaskey to even be there.
I was going to say, Tyler, I don't want to see another George McCaskey press
conference. It won't be. It'll be Kevin. That's why they brought him in. You're not going to see George anymore. And if you do see George, that's more telling than it's not. That it's saying he is still running things. Now, if you see Kevin, you maybe have a little hope that maybe he's just pulling the strings, you know, from behind closed doors. But I think you're going to see Kevin come out. I think he's going to be the one doing all this. And I think that there's a good chance it happens. Poles has been doing a good job for GM. In my opinion, he has made some really bad moves, but he's made a lot of clutch moves. I mean, you know, he traded with the Panthers. He's, you know, he's going to end up probably getting us the first overall pick in the draft again. The problem is, like, I want to know, is he allowed to fire people midseason? Is he allowed to do this stuff? Is he allowed? Because if he is allowed, that dampers what I think. If he's not allowed, which I'm assuming is the thing.
That's right where my head goes.
That, what the fuck? You know what I mean? And let him do his job, because I just don't understand. Like, we got to rewind the game clock. Before the Commanders game, heads were going to roll. We rip off a couple wins now, and now everyone's, like, happy?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, guess what? It's not hard to I could have coached a team to get over three wins.
Hell, with the teams we went up against, my God, you didn't even need a coach to be there. I mean, come on. At this point in the season, they could have gone out there without a coach and still called the plays. I mean, come on, man. We're not in week three, you know. These teams should be able to do a lot of this stuff in their sleep at this point in time. I think this is probably going to be one of the more interesting off seasons. And Tyler, I think you hit it right on the head. It really depends when our offseason starts as to how dynamic this offseason is going to be. If we wait again until March to do anything, we're screwed. We're absolutely screwed, because that says, you know what? It's bare thinking as usual. Stay with who you've got. Don't take any risks. We're heading in the right direction. Go Bears. But if all of a sudden, within the next week, 2 weeks before the season ends, we start to hear about some big moves, then that gives me hope as a Bears fan, because at least change is on the horizon. And someone could argue, hey, Brian, you know what? It doesn't necessarily mean it's good change. But I'll argue back, it's change, man. Things can't remain the same over and over again and expect different results. It's just not going to make it for this team. And that's kind of where I fall. So I'm thinking that, you know, hey, maybe next couple weeks could finally see a few fireworks. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, it really would, but like I said, we'll see. I mean, that's all we could do. We can only wait. The roster's there. It does need upgrading, like we've talked, in certain areas, but overall, I mean, I think anyone would be lucky enough to step in. I feel like we're a team who's on the up and up for having the number one pick.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we're not a 500 team, but we should be, and we should have been, but we're not. We're now 6-9. You know, he's doubled his wins from last year, but, I mean, he's still 6-9. The good as we're going to do is 8-9. I mean, you're still not even 500.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you somehow get to 8-9, you know, you are going to lose places in the draft, but I don't know. I think we have our hands full with Atlanta. I don't think they're as easy as some people think. They're very off and on, hot and cold type team, so we'll see.
Especially in the last 4 weeks, Atlanta actually has been pretty stingy against the pass. They're about middle of the road in terms of defending the pass, and they're a little bit above average in terms of defending the run. So, you know, this is not a team that we're going to run over, even though it's a home game. I think I see this game as close, What for me is I'm having a hard time getting fired up for this game as a Bears fan. And I feel bad. I think I should be more excited about the game. But, you know, if you kind of look at it, Cole Kmet, I don't even know if he's playing this game. Darnell Mooney's already been ruled out. Not that he's done anything, by the way, this year. God, he's got to go, man. And but I'm help me out here, man. I'm having a hard time getting up for this game. Is it just me? Maybe the post Christmas blues. I don't know what's going on. It's just like, okay, So Fields has a really good outing. Well, does that put things in jeopardy? Do more people, you know, now go, oh, look at the improvement. Look at the improvement. Things, we need to keep things the way they are. Who knows? I'm just struggling. Where are you at with this game?
I mean, honestly, I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, cool if we get a win. You know, it's weird that I'm more looking forward to the next season. Obviously, I want to beat Green Bay. I'll get up for that. It's such a weird year again. And just the continued feeling of hopelessness within this organization. It's just, I don't even know what to say. Like, I'm running out of words. I'm running out of things to talk about. It's weird. For once, I can't wait for the season to be over because we're sitting on this podcast just repeating the same shit, hoping the same things happen. I would love for us to be an upbeat podcast, but you're right. Like, Mooney's got to go. He is horrible. Like, horrible. You know, it just shows you, too. You never really know, right? Like, you can say all the right things. You can do all the right things. You can work hard. You can be this. You can be that. But at the end of the day, can you play? And that's all it comes down to. And no, he cannot play. This guy got a jugs machine when he was a rookie, you know, in his yard. And he's like, I'm always out there catching. I'm always out there catching. Dude, you can't catch anything. You had a Hail Mary fall right into your lap. You couldn't even catch it.
Yeah. I'm sick of that old work ethic that says, wow, he's really hard worker in practice. You know what? Doesn't matter. If you can't put that final product on the field, I don't care that you're a hard worker. Good for you. Good for you if you've got good character. Thank goodness for people who have good, fine character. Guess what? At the end of the day, in terms of wins and losses, if you can't produce on the field, it means absolutely nothing. And as far as I'm concerned, that's what the Bears have done all year. For the most part, with the exception of a handful of games, we have not put a product on the field that they can be proud of, that we as fans can be proud of. And yeah, it does sound... I'm sure at times it feels like we're doing the same old thing, but what else is there? Because all we have is guesstimates. This is about the most closed organization in terms of signaling what they're going to do. So we're all having to constantly guess. And maybe they see this as a great strategy. We're not going to signal anything to the rest of the world in terms of what we're doing. Okay. You know, whatever, but be decisive, man. Be decisive.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's that. That's a great point. Is the lack of decisiveness, like, just? I don't know. I mean, I think we have to root for Harbaugh now, right? Like, I mean, I don't even know anymore. I don't know. I feel like we just keep getting it wrong. But I mean, as far as a culture guy, he's right there. I mean, he's going to get the job done and do whatever it takes. I don't know who else.
Belichick?
No, I think he's going to Washington.
Ah, yeah. I don't think he's going to be with the Patriots again, do you?
No, I think that's been pretty much revealed that they're moving on.
Yeah, that sounds
like it. And I think they're going to go Vrabel.
Really?
I think Mike Vrabel gets fired. Mm. He kind of looks like he's phoning it in, doesn't he?
A little bit. Yeah.
He really feels... I think there's some behind-the-scenes tampering going on there. I really do. Mm-hmm. I would not be shocked if it happened. As far as... I mean, Tomlin's going to continue in the Steelers. I mean, you know, he's never had a losing season.
I can't believe what Tomlin's done this year with the injuries, with the team he's had, with the
players he's had. But look how decisive. We talk about indecisive. That man is decisive.
Yep.
He saw Mitch Trubisky and said, Jesus Christ, this guy cannot play football.
Yep.
Out, Mason Rudolph Boom. In.
Yep. He's not gonna be, hey, let's let him hang around.
Let's give him a couple more games.
See if he... No. I've seen it. You know what? That is a... Tyler, is so important, right? One of the number one things for coaches that they have to have is you have to trust your eyes. You have to trust what you're seeing and not do a lot of second guessing of, well, it's because of this excuse or that excuse. You have to trust. Hey, you know what I just saw with my eyes? It's real.
Yeah.
Move on.
And you talk about that. And I think a lot of coaches are going to look at their eyes and look at the staff and look at the roster we have and want to come here. But again, we can't sit back and wait. So,
yeah,
I mean...
Yeah, let's
not
get the scraps from the table, man.
I mean, Bieniemy's going to be out there. If Belichick goes, Bieniemy's going to go. I think he's doing a good job in Washington. I really do. Well, I talked about how Jay Glazer said culture. Dude, everyone, I've heard interviews. I went out of my way and looked up Eric Bieniemy interviews from players, from former teammates. They're all outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah, they love him.
They love him. They said I'd run through a wall for that guy.
Yeah.
You know, and you're starting to see the difference, too. I would like to bring this up. Matt Nagy has been calling the plays this year for Kansas City. Okay. They are falling apart. So we all give Andy Reid credit, but I think there's going to be a point where I think you might start to see Andy Reid start calling plays again. Because according to sources, they're saying that it's been Nagy, and it's been showing. Because, you know, we wanted to blow all this smoke about Eric Bieniemy, but, man, he leaves, they're not looking good.
Well, I think certainly part of it's Nagy. We all know that he's... been an overrated offensive mind. We've seen that over and over again. Absolutely, part of it has to be they didn't go into the season giving Mahomes the kind of wide receivers a guy like Mahomes really needs. So part of it is play calling. Part of it is he just doesn't have the weapons.
Yeah, I mean, but also, speaking of decisiveness, it's kind of disappointing to see Andy Reid not pull out Kadarius Toney. He's losing them games on the regular.
Oh, I know. And I think Andy Reid's a hell of a good coach.
I do too, but at the same time, you know, you got to pull him.
Yeah.
When you don't play like that, and, you know, we see that too in Chicago. Like, we pulled Velus Jones for a while, now Velus Jones is back. And it's like, at this point, I don't even care. Fumble the ball. You know, it's comical. It's going to happen again. Watch. Mark my words. Before the season starts, he's going to lose one again. It just happens.
Yep.
We just the lack of leadership we have in that locker room is just, it's unbelievable.
It's pretty bad, isn't it?
And the fact that he keeps, like, Eberflus keeps saying, oh, you know, I'm proud of my guys. We didn't let the ship sink. Buddy, the ship, what are you talking about? The ship's already, you're underwater. You're drowning. You're dead.
Yeah,
you're done.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? And I like how everyone keeps going, well, the defense is finally figuring it out. The defense is finally figuring it out. What are you guys? I mean,
the ship.
How long did it take? Okay. Perfect example. We called it on this podcast. We talked about it already. I'm going to talk about it again in case you missed an episode. We said Vic Fangio, give him time with that Miami defense. They will figure it out. He's one of the greatest defensive coordinators I've ever seen. I would trade my right testicle to have him back in Chicago. Like, if he could just be the defensive coordinator for all our days, sign me up. Where do I sign?
Wouldn't that be a great clause to see in a contract?
I mean, I would do it. I would do it. I would just... it's funny because he's only, this is his first year there, and they've already gotten it halfway through this. They got it halfway through the season. It's funny that the media keeps trying to use the example, oh, the Bears have finally figured out Eberflus' system. It's been 2 years almost. It's over a year and a half. What the fuck? You've had two off seasons. Yeah. What do you mean they're just now figuring it out?
Yeah. I mean, that isn't that such a ridiculous... When I see that comment, I just want to throw up in my mouth.
Do you think also, like, the players are just doing their own thing a little bit?
A little bit.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not...
I think it's a little bit. Yeah, that is the most ridiculous comment ever when they say shit like that. It's like, do you guys realize what you just said? Are you just talking for the sake of talking, or
but
what's
also
going on here?
A good point too to bring up. I've never heard a player defend him. Have you?
Yeah, there's been a couple. Yeah, there've been a couple players that have come out.
But
this
like,
year,
has anyone? But like, I'm saying, has anyone come out and supported him and defended him? Because I don't think so. There has not been one to my recollection. Fields is sick of Luke Getsy. You can tell that. Luke Getsy hates Fields. That's so... They don't even talk.
No, no. I mean, they're not even... God, they're the most... Yeah, that's dysfunction at a different level at that point in time. You know, I know people in the Bears, players in the media have mentioned their support for Eberflub, but I can't remember a single person like coming out and saying he's our man and we're defending him like they've done for Justin Fields. You know, lots of players have come out for Justin Fields. DJ Moore being probably one of the biggest ones. Few other guys have come out and said, man, he's good. He's the man. He should be here. But no, I've not. I think they've made some general things like, you know, Flus is, you know, helping our team improve, you know, really generic
but,
statements.
I mean, but I'm talking like, you know, no, everyone's saying generic stuff. No one's sitting here saying, hey, this team is not where it wants to be and it's not coach's fault. We need to take accountability. There's none of that.
No.
Because they're sitting here going, fuck this guy.
Well, the other thing too, Ty, think about it. When Justin Fields came out with probably one of the most honest statements about a coach, and that's Luke Nogutsky, when he came out about how he felt he was being asked to play robotic-like, not good. Not good at all. So what that tells you is that tells you that you really can't. If I were the other Bears players on the team and I saw the reaction that happened from that, am I going to come out? And when my quarterback gets heat about speaking up, you know, he was being honest. I thought he was being very, very upright and honest about kind of his relationship with the guy. And man, that did not go well. So if I'm a Bears player and I watch that happen with him, there's no way in hell I'm speaking up. I mean, did you see that any differently?
No, I mean, I just think it's... I just brought it up because I thought it was... I just start thinking about stuff on this podcast. Like, I started thinking about, you know, we re-sign a kicker. And the first thing I kept saying to you was, but we don't re-sign Jalen Johnson. And then I'm starting to think, ooh, well, maybe we are cleaning house. But who knows? I don't know. I don't have any answers whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think that's where from the Bears fans I talk with, I think that's the most frustrating thing is, you know, we're still those mushrooms. We're in the dark, and a lot of crap continues to be piled on us. Not maybe out of direct trying to pile crap on us, but sometimes silence is much louder than action. And I'm thinking that at times the silence on where they're moving forward and how they're looking at doing things, I it just reminds me so much of the old Bears that it about makes me sick in my stomach.
Well, let's talk about the Atlanta game. I know we talked about it a little bit, but we'll talk about it. And then we'll finish up with some, like, just around the NFL stuff. I don't know, man.
So
I think they're a decent team. Is Heinicke playing?
Yeah, I think Heinicke is the starter. Last I saw, he had a few kind of questionable injuries, but last I heard he was the guy. I think we're going to see a lot of Bijan Robinson in this game, not so much in the running game, but more as a pass catcher. You know, we've done pretty well against the run, especially if you look at the last 5 to 6 weeks. We're right up there with Cleveland and some other really good defenses in stopping the run. Pass, you can pass against us pretty well. I don't know. DJ Moore, you think he's up to full steam this week?
I would like to see DJ Moore just sit out and get healthy for the Packers game.
Yeah.
So we could have our best chance of beating them, honestly.
Actually, kind of that's, you read my mind. We've been together a long time. That's kind of where I was going, is like, this Atlanta game just seems to me to be...
It's meaningless.
It's nothing. And I think, I'm in agreement, which would mean that if we don't play Moore and we don't play Mooney, hell, what is it? Scott becomes one of our... Who's even our receivers at this point in time?
He's been interesting this year. He's made some big plays, and he's also been underutilized. I'm not sure
what we have with him.
Yeah, and that's what I was just about to say. I'd like to see more before I make a verdict on what I really think.
Yeah. I wouldn't even guess who's our number two. Please don't tell me it's Velus Jones, number 12.
Velus,
yeah. I'm sorry. Please tell me it's not him.
Probably. But what does it matter, Dad?
Yeah, I guess
it doesn't
not.
Matter. Play a fan out of the stands for all I care.
Yeah, why he's even on the team, by the way, is just beyond me. But talk about Kadarius Toney and Andy.
You can't put him with Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, that's right. Kadarius Toney's a lot better than he is.
No. That is an outrageous statement.
I'm not a fan.
How many games has he lost us? Like, Tony's literally single-handedly lost games. He has not lost us Bears games. Like, Tony has single-handedly lost us games.
Yeah. Well, he's...
Or lost them games. Yeah. Not Velus hasn't lost us. Velus fumbles, and then he's out. And that's all it is. Like, Tony, I mean, my God.
Yeah,
they're playing the Patriots, and they hits him off his hands, and he starts bobbling it up in the air.
So I'll take ownership. It's my dislike for number 12.
No, I know, but
I was hyperbolic.
I was
going over the top.
But, like, I've never understood why receivers... Like, Tony starts bobbling it on that interception like it's volleyball.
Yeah.
Like, just let it come down. And I've said this before, too, and I'll say it again. Those gloves are ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. I know. They really are, man. You know, I was just thinking about how much the Green Bay game still means to me. Hell, I would be even... They're not going to do this. They're not in a million years. They're going to not sit Fields, because I think if they're moving in a different direction, they're saying, hey, let's use this tape as a way of... trading Fields and let's get him on the field and get as much tape on him as possible.
Do you think you can get a first pick for him?
No.
First rounder?
No. No, I do not.
I do. If you work the right angle with the right team.
So, speaking of Atlanta, does Atlanta want Fields?
I mean,
could he? Yeah.
He'd have weapons.
Yeah. How about the Commanders?
No, I think Sam Howell showed a lot of promise. I think Sam Howell, like, you got to remember, Sam Howell was about ready to get the single season sack record. Sam Howell got the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
And you see it time and time again. Fields' first year, same thing. I don't think you give up that quick. You don't move on from Sam Howell that quick.
So I guess back to the Atlanta game, you know, we're both kind of in the same spot. Really, really, we'll watch. We will definitely watch the game. We don't not care at all, but it's hard to get up for this kind of game. I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game. Do you? I don't know what the over under is on this particular game, but I don't think it's going to hit 20 points. I could be surprised, but both defenses are playing pretty good.
It's 38.
Yeah. And with a hurt DJ Moore and Mooney out, and typically Atlanta loves to do the control, ground and pound the ball. By the way, you know what they should call this game? I'm being serious about this. The worst coaches game of the year. Because two of the worst NFL head coaches are on the field for this game.
Yeah.
Everflub and, oh my gosh, Arthur Smith. My gosh, what a dingus.
I just feel like, back to the Fields thing real quick, you don't think a first round? I mean, everything that he's done on the ground?
No, I think people, what they're going to bring up is the consistency piece. And I don't think that's always fair to bring that up, but I think that will be the first thing a lot of people will bring up. And I could point to, all the other things that are really a part of that formula for inconsistency in terms of just poor coaching, poor offensive line play at times, people not knowing their routes at times.
I'm going to disagree with you a lot on that, in the consistency thing. Look how drastically his numbers have gone from his first year till now. They're drastic.
Yeah, they've improved.
They've improved drastically. Yeah. So,
yeah, I think the challenge will be there were more people at the beginning of the year that thought Fields would be playing more consistently than he did. But that's just a hunch.
But I disagree with that completely, because look at who he's been surrounded by. Losers. Losers. I mean, honestly, it's just losers. Yeah. You can't base a player. I think you can get a first round for him.
So do you? You got a team in mind that's gonna?
I think Atlanta could make a move. I think Tennessee is in play. They don't have anyone. Let me fucking tell you something right fucking now that drives me nuts about this Levis guy. He came in, they're losing. You have nothing to lose. You're just playing willy-nilly football. You're just winging it. You know who else did that? Tommy DeVito. You know who we're never going to hear about again? Tommy DeVito and Will Levis.
Yeah.
I'm being dead serious.
No, I think there's a lot of truth to that.
And my hat is off to Tommy DeVito. For him cashing in on these 15 minutes of fame,
go for it, buddy. Go for it. No, I think that is a really excellent point, you know? Sometimes it's hard to tell if the guys they're throwing in there and at times are just lighting the world on fire, if it really is due to talent or just really due to we don't give a shit and I'm just going to rip it and rip it and see where things fly.
Yeah, I mean, there's other teams out there. Does Seattle move on from Geno? I think that experiment's over. But again, that's Pete Carroll. I would hate to see Fields go over there.
Oh, I would too. I think that would be...
Are the Cardinals in play? I don't know. Do they move on from Kyler Murray? Who knows there? Who else do you have around the league? I'm trying to think here. Through my head. Minnesota needs a quarterback, but I don't think he'd... I don't think we'd trade to a... That would hurt. That would hurt.
That would really hurt. Oh my gosh.
Man, he'd have weapons.
He would have weapons, but that would hurt so bad. I would hate to watch Justin Fields play against us twice a year with Jefferson, Hawkinson, and Addison. I would absolutely hate that scenario. Please, please, Bears, do not trade him to an NFC North team. I beg of you, do not do that. What about, before the year?
I'm going to say it, and I know you disagree with me, but... 49ers. Brock Purdy, not the guy.
Yeah, you know what? You've been saying that all year, and I've been disagreeing all year. And that Ravens game, Ooh.
People
that was a rough one.
People wanted to relate it to injuries earlier, and I get that, but now there are no injuries. And now you're seeing, I don't think it's injuries as much as he's just playing good defenses.
Yeah, I mean, that Ravens defense tore him a new one. How about, you know, at the beginning of the year, who I thought was going to replace their quarterback, but I've changed my mind, and that was Tampa Bay. I wasn't sure that Baker Mayfield was the long-term guy moving forward. I think this year Baker Mayfield made a case for himself. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he made a case. I think he's good. I don't think he's I think he's like that middle-of-the-road starter. Yeah, I think he could have like kind of like a Ryan Tannehill career, keep going to places that need a quarterback. I mean,
but not take him over the top.
Yeah.
Not take a team, not lead a team to a Super Bowl.
I mean, he has the best wide receiver in football this year, in my opinion.
Mike Evans. Oh, my God. He has been a beast.
You know, Mike Evans is doing stuff that we talk about Jamar Chase. We talk about Justin Jefferson. He flies under the table, Mike Evans.
All the time.
What was his stat? Oh, God dang it. He's the first player with so many yards, and you can look it up. So many yards, so many touchdowns, and his company is like Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, and him. And it's just like, holy shit.
Yeah. And he wasn't even a part. And in fact, this year, he wasn't even a part of the conversation earlier in the year.
He's so good. He got Johnny Manziel drafted. Because they were teammates at Texas A&M.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point.
That's how good.
I forgot all about that.
That's how good he is. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm just saying, like, I hope wherever Fields goes, I hope it's good to him, and I hope he has a long career.
What about Cleveland? Joe Flacco has been playing out of his mind, but he's not a long term. And Deshaun Watson,
they're wrapped up with too much guaranteed money. They have to go Deshaun no matter what. There's too much money unless they can offload him.
Talk about being married to a anchor. Deshaun Watson is your ultimate financial anchor. I mean, my God, that guy is playing so far under what he's being paid for. I mean, he's terrible. He's looked terrible all year. Cleveland, you really dug yourself in a hole, buddy, with that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to come back from stuff like that, allegations like that, and not even allegations, happened.
What's harder coming back from it is the poor play. I mean, you know, a lot of guys get accused of stuff, but, you know, on the field can redeem themselves. He's done neither, on or off the field. So I can't think of another team other than the ones we mentioned that one might be interested in Fields for a first-round pick.
I'm trying to bring him up. Give me a second.
Yeah, that's fine. I am thinking that
Steelers?
Ooh, yeah. Steelers could be. I think in the beginning of the year, Pickett was the next hot thing, and I think they have seen that that has really cooled off substantially. I'm not so sure Tomlin's going to back keeping that guy on the field. He may be another person.
Patriots.
Hey, listen, I gotta, since we're talking about NFL football, what's this thing about Herbert? And
So here it is. I'll break it down. Because it's fan fiction, but there is a hypothesis going around. Not a hypothesis. There is a story going around that it's just, again, fan fiction, that we trade the number one overall pick to the Chargers because the Chargers will then go out. They're having problems of getting fans in the seat, so they go out, they get USC's own Caleb Williams, he becomes the starting quarterback, and then they send Justin Herbert over to the Bears. That would be awesome.
He's a hell of a quarterback, and he's a proven commodity. So, I mean, how many number one picks like Caleb Williams have we seen, Tyler, over the course of many years, that they get all hyped up and they get to the NFL and they are absolutely nothing. Where, you know, the Herbert is a proven commodity. He's proven he can throw the deep ball. Could you imagine Herbert throwing the deep ball? He throws a really nice, pretty deep ball to DJ Moore. I mean, Moore could have the best season of his career if that happened. I think that's total rumor.
No, it's fan fiction. Yeah, it's not even, is a rumor.
Yeah.
You can't even say total. It is. It's just a made up thing that they're saying this could happen maybe. By it's given, written to you by fans for fans. Yeah. That's all it is.
All right. So in terms of, that was the only other team I could think of that might be willing to do something with their quarterback. And God, I had a team at the tip of my tongue that I was, why can't I think of it right now? Oh, well, it'll come back to me in just a minute or two of who the other particular team was that, oh, I know, New Orleans. Derek Carr has sucketh so bad this year. I mean, when you look at Derek Carr, do they keep him for another year? He's had a lot of weapons around him. He's had a good defense around him. And Derek Carr, now, for those Derek Carr apologists, yes, he's been injured. Yes, he's been hurt. Guess what? So's every other quarterback in the NFL gang. Been injured and been hurt and has continued playing. That's a part of the game. But what would Justin Fields look like in a New Orleans uniform playing? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there, man.
I mean, obviously there's a lot of availability for him to go places. Like, there's a lot of teams with open places. I mean, just to list a few. I mean, let's go through them all real quick. I mean, you can even throw in the Raiders, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... Their quarterback is bad.
You can say, I'm looking at all the teams right now. Kansas City, Indy, no. Houston, no. Pittsburgh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Pittsburgh, Raiders, Denver... I'm going to throw in the Jets. I know that Aaron Rodgers is coming back, but he's old. They're going to need something in the future. I'm going to throw in the Jets.
Yep.
Tennessee.
Yep.
New England.
Yep.
So you're keeping track on your hands?
I am.
Thank you.
I am.
Thank you. I'm going to say San Francisco. I'm going to say it. I think they need a quarterback. Then you can go all the way down to, Seattle. Okay. Minnesota.
Okay.
Atlanta.
Okay.
New Orleans.
Okay.
Giants.
There you go.
And then, throw in the Cardinals, too.
Okay, so that's 13 teams out of 32.
Jesus. So that's almost half the league.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wow. That, if and you know what? I don't disagree with any of those. Those are all potential places that could utilize someone like Fields. Absolutely. The most crazy one is if he went to the Jets. I never even thought of that. And I know, gang, we're talking as if this is a foregone conclusion, but man, things are pointing more and more toward the fact that Fields won't be our quarterback next year. I just feel it in my bones. Even though I've been clear. My heart is with Fields. I think even if he goes somewhere else, I will wish him the very, very best. A part of me will always be sad that we didn't give him the tools. We gave him DJ Moore. That was fantastic. But in terms of having the other tools on the field, I'm so pissed that we knew we had offensive line issues going into the year, and we only addressed one of those with Darnell Wright. We had a lot more offensive line issues that should have been addressed. We had cap space, in the free agency market. We didn't explore that. Thought that was another mistake. So that's where I'm at, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been a long season. It's going to continue to get a little longer, but hopefully there's light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe some crazy stuff will happen, and maybe we can rebound from this, and hopefully we can. And, you know, whatever we decide to choose and do, I'm going to fully support. It'd be crazy if the Justin Herbert thing happened.
Yeah.
It'd be nuts.
That would be really nuts.
God dang, that would be crazy, huh? I mean, if we blew that, then we're in trouble. So, I don't know. Like I said, it should be good. I hope everyone had a good Christmas, had a good holiday, whatever you're celebrating. We do Christmas, so we say Merry Christmas. New Year's coming up. Hope everyone has a good New Year. We will be back on New Year's Day. We will do an episode on Monday because my schedule is so hectic that if we don't do it on Monday, I'm afraid we're not going to get around to it. So we will do it on Monday because I am off Monday. You are off Monday. A lot of football to be played on Monday.
Absolutely, man.
A lot of good football for college. Look, I'm not a big college guy, but around this time of the year, man, I like to watch college. It is bowl season. You got to bet bowl season. Gamble responsibly. But other than that, man, yeah, no, I hope everyone out there has a good New Year. And hopefully, you know, even though we're out of the playoffs this year, maybe there's going to be some good playoff football coming down our way. A lot of craziness. The NFC looks open now. It didn't look open. Now it looks open after that wall up. So
yeah, it's going to be some exciting times, I think, ahead. To Bears fans, to all of our fans out there, hey, be safe this New Year's. Make sure you hug your family going into the new year.
All right. With that being said, remember, it's always a good time when you
bear down.